Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and all of this week I've been telling you about this very special guest that we have with us today, Dr. Roy Escapa. The subject matter is one that I think is especially important. It has touched my life. My father was an alcoholic. We are going to be talking about the cure for alcoholism. So if any of you out there know of someone that is going through this devastating physiological trauma of addiction, especially with alcoholism, I think you're going to find my guest, Dr. Roy Escapa, a man that really has a very, very special, uplifting message for all of us. Dr. Escapa, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Now, where are you calling in from?
Well, I'm actually in Tel Aviv, in Israel at the moment.
Oh, you're in Israel?
Yes, correct.
Well, I'm so delighted that you are able to join me today and to share with my audience around the world the wonderful information that is in your book, The Cure for Alcoholism. And the subtitle is going to be a surprise to those of you listening. Drink Your Way Sober Without Willpower, Abstinence, or discomfort. Now, Dr. Escapa, you are a man that has been deeply involved with research on alcoholism. Would you give us a little bit of your background and tell us how it is that you got so involved with this research?
Okay. I was trained in the United States as a clinical psychologist, and during my training, which was in Los Angeles, we were essentially told that addiction and alcoholism is something that you shouldn't really bother trying to work with. It was more or less thought of as incurable, and there was nothing you could do about it. And that just was generally the way students were trained, and what we were told was, if you have any alcoholics or drug addicts in your practice, refer them on to the traditional methods, such as rehab, traditional rehab, or AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, and that is the best way to go. Much later on, about 15 years ago, alcoholism intervened in my life personally because I had a relative who was a first cousin of mine who suffered from alcoholism and really went through every possible treatment. He went through treatment in South Africa, our home country. He went to two rehabs in the United States and in England. And in the end, he didn't make it. He died at 35. But just prior to this, I had been researching for any potential cures, and I heard about a man in Finland, an American neuroscientist working for the Finnish government, who claimed he had a way of reversing alcoholism biologically in the brain. And I didn't believe it when I heard it. So I called him and I asked him a few questions, and he sent me some of his published papers. This was before the internet, where people had access to it, much information. And he faxed me his research, and there were reams of papers. In those days, it was rolls of fax paper. And the studies made sense. Within 2 weeks, I was in his lab, and he showed me exactly how it worked. And what he had discovered was that something called the alcohol deprivation effect, that is that if you deprive animals, at this stage it was just with animals, going back 20 years ago, that if you deprive animals of who are addicted to alcohol or saccharine or any other substance that they became addicted to, their craving would become very high, and their motivation would become incredibly high. So when you gave them access to the alcohol again, they wouldn't drink at previously high levels. They would binge drink and binge massive amounts. but it wouldn't go away. So even if you deprived and took them through detox, and this we see in, saw in patients as well, they would go in for detox and rehab, and they were able to remain abstinent for 3 months, up to 4 months, but 85%, like my cousin, were relapsing. Mm-hmm. Within 6 months, certainly most relapsed. And this is what the figures from the NIAAA and NIDA in America and the World Health Organization all said. It doesn't, the current treatments are the best we have on offer, but they don't work. What Sinclair discovered, which was so profound, was that because when we drink alcohol, it is not alcohol that causes the addiction, but it, because it releases endorphins in the brain. And if we are genetically predisposed and we start drinking, the endorphin system in the brain, otherwise known as the opioidergic system, becomes incredibly strong. And more as the person drinks, this doesn't happen overnight. If nobody walks into a bar at the age of 18 or 21, has a drink, and is immediately an alcoholic. They have to do it many times.
Mm-hmm.
But in those people who are genetically predisposed, their brains get a very powerful jolt of reinforcement, and they build up more receptors and stronger pathways and connections and addictive circuitry than the average person. And the thing about this is it never goes away. It stays for life. So their craving levels go up and their drinking levels go up. And what to do about this once the addiction was learned and installed in the brain? And that's where Sinclair came up with the most profound yet simple discovery. He went back to what Ivan Pavlov had discovered way back in the turn of the century in terms of learning and conditioning. He figured out that you could reverse the addictive learning in the brain by using a medication called naltrexone to block the effects of endorphins in the brain. So that every time the patient drinks alcohol, there's a weakening of the system. It doesn't happen overnight, and the patients do not feel themselves becoming de-addicted, but over 3 to 4 months, their craving is reduced and their drinking levels go down. And it's very profound. In Sinclair's studies, there are 70 clinical studies that show this, and they show that it only works if the patient takes this non-addictive, non-abusable medication before. If you take this medicine right now, you won't feel anything. It won't make you feel high or low. There may be some side effects of nausea in a small number of people, but essentially it's not something that can make you high or low, and it's got a very low schedule on prescription. It's still on prescription, but it's very easy and safe to prescribe. The thing about it is it only works when patients are drinking. So if patients and people are doing well with their abstinence program, such as AA, then they should stick with what they're doing. This is not an excuse to go ahead, and we're not trying to dupe anyone into thinking that, you know, we can start drinking again. For people who have relapsed, are currently drinking, or are drinking too much and would like to cut back, and they can get a prescription for naltrexone and drink while they are taking this naltrexone. It's not a get-sober medication. It's a generic medication, which means it's not expensive. There's many companies that make it, and that explains another reason why we haven't heard much about it, because there isn't much money, there isn't much profit in it for the pharmaceutical companies.
Okay, Dr. Escapa, we are having a problem with your connection, and your voice is going away. So what I would like to do, I know that my engineer is standing by, and what we'll do is we're going to go on a break for a moment, and then he will be able to make a connection, because what you're saying here is so important. I don't want any of my listeners to not be aware of what you're having, and I know that your voice is disappearing, so please stay on the line. And Don, if you will take us to break, then what we'll do, we'll reestablish a new connection. And for those of you listening, my guest today, calling in from Tel Aviv, Israel, is Dr. Roy Escapa, We're talking about the cure for alcoholism. Now, this is not make-believe. This is real. So we're going to take a break for just a moment, and then we'll be coming back because we want to reestablish a better connection. We're having some problems with some interference on the line. So don't go away. We're going to be back in just a moment. Dr. Escapa, stay on the line. I am going to try to get through so that we can put you on another
line. Are you trying to pull me on another line?
Yes. Now, just stay on hold, please, for a moment. I'll be right back.
Yes.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sivo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to DTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good,
if you're searching
feel
for
fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Donna, I'm sorry that we had that interruption in the programming, but I wanted to be sure that we didn't miss anything that Dr. Escapa was sharing with us. Dr. Escapa, I understand now we've got a much better line.
Good.
Oh, wonderful. That's terrific. All right, let's go back, because I know we had this interruption. Let's talk about the alcohol deprivation effect, which is called ADE. And Dr. Sinclair, who is quite an incredible man, he did something here that was just amazing with his research, especially when he was working with rats to test this. Now, I know people listening to this will say, oh, good grief, you're talking about rats, we're talking about human beings. But rats are very similar in genetic patterning and makeup to the human being. Am I correct?
Yes, that's why we study them.
So tell us what happened with those experiments. And there was also something that he discovered regarding an addictive substance like cocaine in the rats as well. There was a factor that seemed to be sort of like a bridge that was very, very similar to that one with alcohol.
Yes, that's right. What he discovered was, although most scientists are looking at a neurotransmitter called dopamine as being responsible for addiction, that although dopamine plays a great and very important role in the so-called high that initially addicts and users get, it was really the opioid system that was maintaining, that was keeping the addiction going. That's endorphins, or similar molecules to endorphins, which are like opiates, morphine, dimorphine, oxycodone, and that cocaine itself also has an effect on this opioid system, which is why craving gets set up. But what we know, most of the literature is really based around alcohol. This we know because there are over 70 published clinical trials. Most of them are double-blind, placebo-controlled, and they show that you can achieve a reduction in craving and actual drinking levels if you take a medication that blocks the endorphin or opioid receptors in the brain, and then the person goes ahead and drinks on it. Well, most alcoholics are going to drink anyway, so it's a huge demand to ask an alcoholic not to drink. This is what most of us in traditional approaches have been asking. Don't drink. Whatever you do, don't drink. And they try not to, and they do their best, but 85% of them at least relapse because it's not under their control. Because the addictive mechanism has been established over many months and years of drinking. And this becomes especially more powerful if they've inherited a genetic predisposition for it. So
that's amazing.
The instructions are very clear that you need to take this medication before you drink, because that's what the literature, that's what the data shows, and that's what over 100,000 patients in Finland who've been treated there relatively informally by the government shows. What I was also saying is that one of the reasons we don't know much about the correct way of using naltrexone is that the medication is not a proprietary medication. It's generic. And therefore, many different companies can sell it at a low price, and no pharmaceutical companies want to invest in advertising this and also how it works. Because initially patients might be drinking every day and then they take the medicine every day, paying roughly a dollar a tablet. But as they get better, they do not take the medication. This medication is only used as part of the treatment. It's a vital part and a vital tool, but it's not taken when the patients are not drinking. So typically this is what happens. Someone is drinking, typical cases, every day, and they're averaging over 100 drinks a week, 100 units, that's 100 shots. And it can be beer, it can be wine, it can be whiskey, vodka, but this is the typical kind of thing that they're doing. And they take this medication, and after 3 months, they're drinking less, at which point they become ready for washout days. This is when they do not drink, and they do that easily because their craving is down and their drinking level is down, and they don't take the medication. So at the end of the day, patients may be drinking only a few times a year, and on those days, that's when they take the medication. They don't take it if they're not drinking. So there isn't a very powerful business model there. And that's why we have to get it out, the message out, by word of mouth, by book, by documentary film, and that sort of thing.
Now, Finland is the country that is leading the research in this. In fact, you mentioned the laboratories, Alko Laboratories in Finland, that you say are the best facilities in the world for studying the science of alcoholism. And they were part of a national alcohol monopoly, which had set aside tremendous amounts of money derived from taxes on alcohol in Finland to reduce the harm caused by alcohol. And that is something that when I read that, I thought that is a phenomenal step forward, because the deaths worldwide, it's a few million people a year who have suffered either physically or getting involved in accidents that maybe will affect other people. It's just phenomenal, the downside of this. And having had, in my own personal experience, within my own family, my father was an alcoholic, my husband's father was an alcoholic, there's hardly anyone I know of that doesn't have someone in the family or a dear friend that has gone through horrific, horrific, terrible, terrible times with this. And there are some who have been able to get away from a cold turkey. But as you say, the relapse rate is so high. And, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous is a wonderful group, and there's been a lot of good done by that. But I've known people that say, I just can't go there. I just don't want to do it. And they just, as you mentioned, have a terrible, terrible time being able to deal with this. And one of the things I've noticed is they often have no appetite for food. It's as if the alcohol just totally takes away their appetite for eating well. And they will just literally almost survive on the alcohol. They're thinking everything is just totally altered by this chemistry shift that's brought on with the alcohol. And like you say, it doesn't just happen overnight. This is something that usually they've been involved with for a long, long time. From the time, often they're 9 or 10 years old, some of them. It's just amazing to me.
Yes, that's right.
So this gives hope.
It gives hope, and, you know, we're not claiming 100% success rates. The success rates range from 75 to 85%, and by success we mean that people are either abstinent or they have come down to safe drinking levels. And the book, The Cure for Alcoholism, explains 5 steps of how people can go about the treatment. And the final step, the golden step, step 5, is where they come to learn never to attempt drinking or sample alcohol without first taking naltrexone to protect them, to cover them.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, it's a form of inoculation. Once they have overcome the addiction and it has been physiologically removed from the biology of their brain, in order to protect themselves from relearning it, they must never sample alcohol without first taking the medication. In practice, we find in Finland that, and this is over 70,000 patients, one third of them opt for abstinence and two thirds opt for moderate drinking every so often, but always with the medication. And at the end of 3 years, in one large prospective trial, they found that the patients were drinking no more than 9 units a week and no more than 1.5 units on any one single occasion. That's very very strict measure, and it really shows it's very effective. I've been getting so many contacts and by email and however people have found my name for help on the internet. Readers have started a forum called thesinclairmethod.com just to help each other as they go through the treatment, because many doctors currently are not aware of this treatment, even though the American Medical Association in its journal JAMA published the largest clinical trial in American history called Project Combine in May of 2006, where they had almost 1,500 patients in the total trial. And they showed that they concluded that naltrexone is a medication that should be made widely available in general medical settings. This means in general practice, in family practices, because it's so safe, and should be made available to people because most people do not get access to the medication for treatment. And in any event, typically rehabs, private rehabs, are beyond the reach of most people. Some of them can cost $65,000 for 28 days.
Mm-hmm.
Betty Ford can be around $40,000 for 28-day treatment.
You mention a number of cases in your book, but there is something I'd like to digress into for just a moment. And you talk about, again, the opioid antagonists, and there is one that you mentioned, a short-acting opioid antagonist, Nalazone, that's used in
Naloxone, correct.
Naloxone, yes, excuse me, I mispronounced it, thank you.
Yeah.
Naloxone, used throughout the world as a life-saving antidote to reverse the effects of narcotic intoxication from heroin overdoses. I read this, and it just was astonishing to me. I've never heard of this, and
well,
I thought...
It's every ambulance driver in the Western world will be carrying every paramedic will have that with them, and if they go out to a home where somebody's taken an overdose of heroin, they will administer this, and the medication has such a strong stickiness or binding for the opiate receptors that it bumps the heroin off the receptors, and the overdose person goes into immediate cold turkey withdrawal, but it saves their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the medication is being handed out to family members and friends of people who are addicted to heroin because of the high relapse rate.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's very safe. Unfortunately, it's only by injection at the moment. There are ways of using nasal sprays so that you can, you know, not have to use a needle and spray that up the nose, and that seems to have been saving lives as well. Studies in the U.S. and Australia show that.
You talk about a Dr. Don Chomsky, and he was one of Sinclair's psychology professors at the University of Cincinnati. There were students of the doctor's that decided they were going to perform an experiment with him. Tell us about that experiment that they did.
Oh, okay. This was to show that you could reinforce behavior, manipulate behavior, and the person is not conscious of what is happening to them. What they did was that Chomsky was lecturing, and his lectures were all about behavior modification and conditioning. And every time they wanted to put Dr. Chomsky in the corner of the room, the far side of the corner of the room, instead of in the middle of the room. So every time he moved that way, they smiled and they looked up. But when he moved towards the center of the room, or the other side, they looked down. when he, as they did this, he kept on giving him reinforcement. He found himself almost sitting up in the corner of a window of the room. And then they told him what they'd done. They had modified his behavior without him knowing it. The point that we wanted to make here with Chomsky is that conditioning learning and the reverse of learning, which is extinction of addiction, is an unconscious thing. You don't feel it happen in your body. Very much like you don't feel when antibiotics are working immediately in the body. You don't feel that your de-addiction is taking place. Like, we're not aware of the chemical processes in our liver and our brain. But it happens slowly but surely. And what we're looking for are end results, final results of reduced drinking to safe levels and much decreased craving and happier families. I see it all the time among patients all over the world.
Now, Doctor, would you be willing to stay with me for a little bit more? We're going to take a quick break. And I'd love to have you address a couple of cases that you mention in your book. Will you be able to stay with us a little longer?
Yes, absolutely.
Wonderful. This is Donna Sebo. My special guest today is Dr. Roy Escapa. He is in Tel Aviv, Israel. This wonderful publication is about called The Cure for Alcoholism. This is not make-believe. This is something that may help someone that you know that you love. And I really think it is a must-read. We're going to take a break for just a moment, and then we'll come right back. Donna Sebo here. Don't go away. More to come.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
My guest today, Dr. Roy Escapa in Tel Aviv, Israel. His wonderful book, filled with a tremendous amount of information that you as a layperson could understand. It's one that if you have a physician that you know of, that you feel should know about this wonderful information, pass it on. This is the way we can make a change in the well-being of those that feel like they have no answer left to them when it comes to dealing with this condition that we call alcoholism. Dr. Escapa, you have in your book, and I'm going to quote it directly, that the risk for alcoholism is affected by many genes, so there's no sharp division between those who are at risk and those who are not. Instead, there is a continuum. At one end are individuals who, once they start drinking, progress to alcoholism in only a few years. At the other end are a few people who are protected by genetic factors from developing alcoholism, and in between are the majority of people who become addicted only when the environment is conducive to drinking large amounts of alcohol. this is something that I think is so wonderful about your book, the specifics that you're giving and the research that is standing behind this and the 70,000 plus people that have gone through these research trials. Now, there is a point in your book where you say there are some people that should not do this. Now, of course, there's physicians that if they're educated about this, and that's something else that I want to cover is what we can do to help educate physicians regarding this, because so many do not even know that this opportunity for creating wellness in a person's life who deals with alcoholism is available. Who should not get involved with this kind of a cure?
Well, firstly, pregnant women should not be on medication. But often you find women who are pregnant can use the willpower to stop drinking on their own. Not, I mean, there are many cases with fetal alcohol syndrome, but by and large, pregnant women. Secondly, there are a minority of people who are actually doing very well with traditional abstinence-based approaches, and that's like AA or traditional rehab. There's no reason for them to start drinking if they manage abstinence. They remain addicted and they can never have another drink, which if they do, they can relapse. Like there was a famous American actor, it's in the press and it's well known, Robin Williams, after 20 years of sobriety, relapsed very badly and almost died, and he had to go back on to abstinence. So up until now, there hasn't been a way to manage patients other than give them instructions to totally abstain. So essentially, the people who are doing well with abstinence should not go on this treatment, and people who are already who are heroin addicts or opiate addicts, OxyContin addicts, should exercise very special concern and be seen by medical specialists before they go on naltrexone, because naltrexone can make them put them into withdrawal. However, for alcoholics, there's no withdrawal from when you take naltrexone. You just drink steadily less and less and less. Over the first month, there's a noticeable difference. By 2 months, the drinking's down to half for the majority of people and the craving's down. By 3 and 4 months, it's really noticeable. I just saw a patient in London who'd been for 2 detoxes in the US at a very expensive private rehab, and, you know, he'd failed. He'd been trying for years, and after 4 months, he's got it well under control. He's already done his 5-day washout. That is where there's no drinking and there's no medication, but they do other exercises that are mediated through the opioidergic system, like physical exercise and that sort of thing.
Let's talk for a moment about how, when they were making or doing this study in Finland, how they discovered that using this generic medication helped to eliminate depression for many of these people that otherwise, if they had gone through detox treatments like you had just mentioned, that would be a very big part of the experience.
What would you like me to talk about, the studies in Finland?
Yes, regarding this, how they noticed that there wasn't the depression patterning. People didn't go through this major depression.
Oh, well, what happens is they if you gradually reduce alcohol, that's a very safe way of coming off the drug, which is a very powerful drug, and you should do it slowly. And with the Sinclair method, by taking naltrexone every time you drink, there's less reinforcement to the brain and there's less drinking. The liver scores improve and the depression levels improve. People get less depressed by the end of the treatment, and they remain depressed as long as if they're drinking, they take this medication years down the line.
Now, with naltrexone, you give information in here about the different names. In the United States, it was called Revia.
Yes.
And then in the United Kingdom, it's sold under the brand name of DePad. Maybe
in the United States, it's DePad and Revia. In the United Kingdom, it's Nalorex. In India, they have a drug called Nodict. And there are a variety of brand names, but it's essentially the same thing. Naltrexone is what people must be aware of.
And they also have time-release formulas, too, that can work with people, which I think is very, very interesting to be aware of. And you make a statement that alcohol abuse and addiction are not rational. And that, to me, is an interesting statement. What is the reasoning behind that?
Well, because it's not a conscious thing. It becomes a reflex. For example, just to explain how powerful it is, the craving for somebody who's an alcoholic. Imagine if you or I were in the desert for a day without water, and then 48 hours went by and 72 hours went by, and a truck came along with water, and people set out the water in front of us, and it's boiling hot, and the sun's beating down, and we haven't had water for 72 hours. Put it down and say, now try and resist this water. Virtually impossible. The craving is overwhelming. And that is what happens with alcoholics. It's like that. The whole thing is unconscious. And that's what we mean. It's totally not under the person's control, and it becomes a reflex. Like when the doctor taps your knee and your knee jerks forward, alcoholics drink because their brains are wired to drink that way, not because they choose to. If they could choose to, they wouldn't, because of the nasty side effects, the hangovers, the car accidents. You know, people can be lose their driving license by law for being caught drinking over the alcohol limit. They can go to jail for it. They can have accidents, and they have knowledge of the dangers, but it doesn't help. The whole thing is irrational. It's not a conscious event. So the higher cognitive powers, the cortical processes in the brain, usually cannot override what is happening underneath with addiction. As I said, only about 10-15% are able to do that. The doctor says, you're drinking too much. A husband says, or a wife says, I'm going to leave you, and the patient stops. These are amazing cases, but it's only 1 in 10 who can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you can improve that a little bit if you give them certain types of treatment, psychological-based cognitive therapies, or AA. But essentially, it's a non-rational, unconscious force that drives people, and that's what we meant by that.
Now, Dr. Escapa, you have a story about a woman, Julia, and interestingly, she and her husband, they'd been married for a number of years, almost 20 years. She had been a very successful potter. They had had a good marriage, but then she got into the deep depths of alcoholism, and as you just were describing, she had a craving. She was getting drunk, her skin, everything about her was reflecting what happens when people are hardcore alcoholics.
Yes.
And she even made a statement to her husband, I just have to drink, I don't know why, you can all leave me if you want to, I just can't stop it. This poor soul just could not do anything. How did she become aware of this?
Well, it's a gradual process. It learns slowly but surely. I mean, when he married her, she hadn't developed the addiction. It wasn't very apparent. It only took root as they got married, as she had more time, as she started to drink more. So she got more reinforcement to her brain, and it set up the wiring in the circuitry in the opioid system, and she craved, and eventually the husband noticed, you know, you're drinking too much when you went to that party, so she began to be a bit of a secret drinker. And eventually it put the marriage on the line, and she was ready and prepared to choose the bottle over her marriage and her daughters. And then they heard about the Sinclair method, and she didn't have to go into a hospital or rehab, but she got a very intensive treatment. Not everyone needs intensive treatment. This means she saw a psychiatrist, she saw a counselor, a psychologist, and quite frequently over the 3 to 4 months, and subsequently even after that on follow-up. So it was quite intensive. But as she went through the treatment, taking naltrexone with her ongoing drinking, she drank less and less and less. One time she forgot to take her medication, and there was a spike, she thought. She got very upset. But then, after a few months, she realized she was leaving drinks behind. She wasn't finishing them, and it had lost interest for her. What happened was, the mechanism in her brain that caused her to think about the neurons that were firing, that caused her to think about drinking, had burned out. And so it had reversed the biology of her addiction, and she had no longer the craving, and then she decided in the end to really aim for abstinence. And it was a noble goal and something she could achieve. And knowing all the time that if she had a craving, if it ever came back, she could always take naltrexone to cover her, to prevent the relearning of the addiction.
Well, this to me is absolutely phenomenal. Now, I know that there are two websites that people can visit. TheCureForAlcoholism.com is there with all kinds of information. And then there is another site that you said other people started called TheSinclairMethod.com. And I
that site should be distinguished from SinclairMethod.com, which is a commercial site. The Sinclair Method, T-H-E, Sinclair Method, that site is a site for the readers of the book who've got together to try and help each other and share experiences with their progress on the treatment. And the other website is thecureforalcoholism.com. That site allows people to download almost half the book, the chapters. And also it shows a story of a young 22-year-old alcoholic woman who, there's an interview with her, who was drinking to blackout virtually every night until she discovered this book and the Sinclair Method and found a psychiatrist in New York City who prescribed it for her, and off she went. And I met her 5 months later, and it was quite phenomenal. She had been freed from this terrible addiction, which was in her family. Her father had it, and a really wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story, and very rewarding for us researchers.
Well, Dr. Escapa, I'm so pleased you've been able to spend the extra time with us today. We are out of time, and I want to thank you for being my guest. For those of you listening, if your life has been touched by alcoholism, if you know of anyone who is going through this difficult experience, please get the book, The Cure for Alcoholism by Dr. Roy Escapa. His last name is spelled E-S-K-A-P-A. Go online to the website, thecureforalcoholism.com, also thesinclairmethod.com, where people can communicate with each other. Dr. Escapa, thank you so much for being my guest.
You're most welcome. Thank you very much for helping to spread the word.
It is my pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break for just a moment. We're going to be back. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says Glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Placebo. I hope you enjoyed the interview as much as I did. Having Dr. Escapa call in from Tel Aviv is very important, and I want you to that he has given me permission to give out his email. If you would like to be in contact with him directly, he said he's more than happy to help anyone by email that would like his assistance. So this is a man that makes himself available. This is a man that's making a difference along with all the others who are dedicated to trying to help people have a life that's rich and full without alcoholism. So if you need to, send me an email, donna@delphiinternational.com, and I'm to send that email to you so that you can be in touch with him directly. Meanwhile, we've got a caller on the line. I want to welcome you to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Donna, it's Pat in Connecticut.
Hi, Pat. Where are you in Connecticut?
Hi. I'm in New Haven.
In New Haven. Did you have a chance to listen to Dr. Escapa?
I just got some of it. He sounds like a lovely man. I'm going to email you because I have it in my family. My sister has stopped drinking, but I'm sure if she's ever looking for any kind of help, he would be a great source. He really sounds like a lovely man.
He really is, and the information, this isn't just pie-in-the-sky woo-woo stuff. Believe me, I've read the book. The book, The Cure for Alcoholism, if you wanted to get that so that you can become aware of it yourself and then pass it along to your sister, then I think that could be a tremendous benefit. But do email me, and that's for any of my listeners. Email me, and I will give you his direct contact information because he's given me permission to do that. And I believe with anything like this, the more we can pass it along, the more it means that people can have a difference in their life. Hon, we don't have a lot of time. Did you have a question you wanted to ask me today?
I do. I also want to say I was just telling my son that he's at risk and that there is also alcoholism with a spirit, so I will get that book. I met a wonderful man recently. I've been alone for years and years and years and years. I'm 56. I've been alone since like 28. Just wondering if you could tell me something about him.
His first name.
Vincent.
Okay, now with Vincent is a hard worker. He is a man that has had long periods of aloneness, and loneliness has been something he has learned how to deal with. But I would like for you and Vincent to be able to become friends. Now, this sounds a little corny, I know, but I think being aware of each other as real people, not as fantasy, but as real people, is going to make a tremendous difference. And I'm looking at the two of you having a chance to have some real in-depth talks and interacting with family members and developing a sense of camaraderie that I think is very, very important. And it will enable you to have that sense of trust because frequently,
yes,
there have been people that you've been around that lack of trust comes in and eats away. So you need to have the time to be able to allow this to show its true essence to you. And I would say relax and enjoy the process. Don't try to make it into anything. Let it show you its true face so that you see it with honesty and integrity.
That's great advice, and that's actually what I was hoping for. Finally, at age 56, I understand it's not corny at all to take a long time to get to know someone. It's taken me this long to realize how important that is.
Yes, it is. Dear, I'm sorry. I'm out of time.
Thank you, Donna. Bless you.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Okay, bye-bye.
And for all of you listening, I want to thank you for being here, too. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. If hope sometimes seems to evade you and it gets really, really tough, remember, there always is a light at the end of the tunnel, but you don't have to go through the tunnel in the darkness. You can also get yourself a flashlight. Usually what you have to do is ask for it. This is Donna Sebo. Have a fabulous weekend. We'll be back here on Monday, right here, same time, same place, talking about Solartopia. Talk to you then. Take care. God bless. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.